Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Who executive produces a long-running family drama and a kick-butt hero saga on the rise? Our first guest, Jordy Randall from Heartland on Up and CBC, and Wynonna Earp on Sci-Fi. Randall joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. We've got two phenomenons in focus next half hour: outstanding scripted TV all over the place, and smart TVs and TV-making devices sweeping the nation. Perspective on both ahead from founder and executive editor Natan Ellsberg. Also ahead, critical talk time for TV writers and producers, Spotlight's Maker makes the tube, A&E goes all reality, our classic trivia question of the week, and the chances get a groundbreaking chance. That's in our Up segment. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this hour. A big welcome to all of you tuning in to the program All About Television, our final episode of April 2017. 82 big degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. It is a gorgeous day. Hope it is one wherever you may be listening in. We got some wonderful guests coming away over the next hour, and we invite you, as always, to be part of the program. It's so simple. Dial in, raise your voice, and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number's good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio. And if you're not into the phone, we got chat room that you can get your thoughts in. It's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And we've got guests 855 and 825 already in the room. So make your voice heard, and we will have you get to it. And while it's long enough, by the way, it was just at 857 just joining us. So thank you very much for checking us out. Again, the chat room, 858, also aboard as well. And if you have Facebook, you can use Facebook Timeline to connect others into what you are hearing right now. Just click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Jordy Randall will join us live from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, after these news notes. Nitty-gritty time is ticking this hour for television writers and producers. Since Tuesday, representatives of the Writers Guild of America and TV producers have gathered in Los Angeles to work out a new multi-year agreement. Both sides are under news blackout while talks go forward. However, according to several entertainment news websites, progress has reached the point where the odds are 50-50 a deal can be worked out if the parties keep working at it the next 2 days. The Guild's current deal with producers expires on Monday, and Guild members have approved authorization of a strike if no deal happens. Spotlight producer, writer, and director Tom McCarthy has a new TV role today. Series developer. The 2015 Oscar winner has a 2-year deal with Paramount Television to create new programming, some of which he would produce and direct. McCarthy entered the TV arena earlier this spring as executive producer and initial episode director of 13 Reasons Why, Netflix's controversial dramedy. Paramount's TV unit had similar arrangements with True Detective director Carrie Fukunaga, Oscar-winning director Robert Zemeckis, and writer Dustin Lance Black. In another move involving both Paramount TV and 13 Reasons Why producer Anonymous Content, they will combine forces to launch a television series based on Anne Rice's Vampire Chronicles books, with her blessing. Rice and son Christopher will be aboard as executive producers, and Christopher is set to write one or more episodes. The series will focus on Lestat, the character Tom Cruise popularized in the 1994 film Interview with a Vampire, based on Rice's first novel in her Vampire's Chronicles series. And as other television channels explore and expand their involvement with scripted TV series, A&E is bidding farewell to that arena. The final episode of Bates Motel Monday night was the network's curtain call, in scripted for good, according to A&E General Manager Rob Chernow. At 5 seasons, Bates Motel was the longest-running of A&E scripted attractions. The network started its fiction focus 16 years ago with 100 Center Street involving great director Sidney Lumet. It was one of the first dramas produced in high-definition format. A&E's work in scripted included Longmire, The Glades, and The Cleaner. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, the executive producer of Heartland, running on Up TV and the CBC, and we're coming back in June for a second season on Sci-Fi, Jordy Randall. Jordy, thanks for joining us. And Jordy, are you there?
Yes, thanks for having me. Lovely to be here.
It is a pleasure. What's it like for you to do two series at the same time?
Well, thankfully, with these two series, have actually, the way the schedules have fallen, have kind of gone back to back, which means there's never a dull moment, and it's also a fascinating creative challenge to have a family show on one hand and the Demon Hunter on the other.
Let's start with Heartland, which just started its 10th season on Up. It is getting close to becoming the longest-running family drama in the history of North American television. I think you're a season behind Seventh Heaven, which ran on UPN and on the CW and on the WB. Why has Heartland lasted so long? What's the secret to the show's success?
Well, I think if the secret existed, we'd all be doing it, and there'd be more than Heartland and Seventh Heaven. You know, I think the Heartland had all the ingredients early on of a show that would attract a co-viewing audience and be a show where the entire family could sit down and enjoy it together. But the longevity is another question. The longevity is really about continuing to evolve the show and create new entry points for younger audiences as we roll forward. So I think over the years, you know, we've added characters and provided new stories where a new audience might find the show in season six, for example, and you know, fall in love with the character Georgie and roll on and catch up. So I think we've had a lot of a new generation of audience over the years.
Yeah. How do you evolve a series like this and try, not just you, but your cast and your fellow writers and crew, not to repeat yourselves?
Well, that's the challenge every year. And when you've done, you know, 193 episodes in a movie at the end of this season, you know, you work very hard not to repeat yourself. But what we've done with this show, and I think, again, the key to longevity is also we've allowed the characters to evolve and mature. We haven't tried to keep them in a box and try to keep them doing the same thing year after year. People grow. They go through different life phases. And you look at our lead character, Amy, who the character was 16 when we begun. She found true love. She, you know, had relationship issues. She got engaged. She got married. We've traveled through her life realistically, and we've done that with all our characters. So her life challenges are not the same in season 11 as they were in season 2.
Mm-hmm. Heartland has been seen here in the United States on the Up Network, mostly on Sunday nights, for now 6 years running. What kind of feedback do you get from the Up audience, not just you, but your cast and crew up in Canada?
You know, it's fantastic. It's what I'd love to see. Some of the comments we get are, you know, my favorite show, or, you know, this is the best show on television, or I can't find this kind of show anywhere else. I'm intrigued by the fact that, you know, we've got a show from Canada that has created that co-viewing experience that's working on Up and working in the U.S. I find that, you know, there's so many networks in the United States, and they all pick a very niche, you know, angle, and Heartland is really designed to bring the whole family together and have something in it for everyone. So we're thrilled to see the passion that comes from the American audience is equal to our Canadian audience, and it's really encouraging, and it's very motivating for our group up here.
As the program has evolved over this last decade, do you get the chance to explore some particular themes with the characters? I'm not saying rip from the headlines like Big Wolf would do with his Law and Order shows, but do you try to, for example, look at or try to incorporate some of the subjects that families and young people are studying more, for example, whether it's bullying or whether it's drug abuse, particularly the opioid epidemic that's been popping up now in the news as of late?
Yeah, you know, to a degree, but the Heartland canvas is such that we're not a high school show. We're not focused on dealing with issues to the degree that you've mentioned. I think what we do try to do is we try to bring in, you know, practical and realistic, you know, challenges for parents or for kids. So we go to a degree. I mean, whether it can be something as simple as a teenager testing boundaries and, you know, what the discipline is from the parents, or the interpersonal relationships with either boyfriends or bullying to a degree. So I think what we try to do is to take those topics that are topical and put it through the Heartland, you know, frame and do it in our way. We're not trying to be a gritty, issue-driven show, but what we are trying to do is to be something that people identify with as they see things in their own lives that they're seeing here. So I think, yeah, to a degree and where it fits our characters.
I want to welcome guests 886 and 891 to our chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. If you got something to say, put it in the room or use our phone number, 646-652-2906. That number's good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the world here on Blog Talk Radio. By the way, coming up next month, we mark the start of our 8th year on Blog Talk Radio. For those who may be tuning in for the first time, we are now in our 10th season, and we will kick off our 8th Blog Talk Radio yearly run with 3 episodes, Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. Monday and Friday episodes at a regular hour, 3:10 Eastern, noon Pacific, and Tuesday at special time, 1 half hour later. That's 3:30 Eastern, and 12:30 Pacific. Coming up on Monday, we'll speak to the head of an independent network who's concerned that independent networks may be facing some danger in this era of TV20. Her name is Daphna Simon, and she's the chief executive officer of Cinema, the network about film and culture. And she'll be with us on Monday. In fact, yesterday, she was down in Washington, D.C. for a special event she organized with the help of members of Congress. And then coming up on Tuesday at 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific, from Starz, is the acclaimed new series, American Gods, that premieres this Sunday night based on the Neil Gaiman novel. Executive producers Brian Fuller and Michael Green. Yes, that's Brian Fuller of Hannibal, Pushing Daisies, Dead Like Me, etc. fame. He's with us alongside his co-executive producer, Michael Green. They're with us Tuesday in an internet radio exclusive. Next Tuesday, 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific, only on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tori, with this particular season, there's two very interesting main plots you're dealing with. One is pregnancy, and the other is being a single mom. Talk about, you know, how the characters are going to be shaped this coming season.
Yeah, so the first topic that you raised is absolutely correct. Our lead actress, Amy, her character is pregnant, and we're going to see, you know, an interesting journey from beginning to end of that pregnancy during the season. So especially for her, I think the big challenge that this character is going to face is, you know, all the physical challenges of pregnancy, but in her case specifically to the fact that, you know, from a safety perspective, she's not going to ride horses while she's pregnant. So she's made that choice, and that's going to have a major impact on what she can do in her business. And so it's definitely a challenging situation for her, someone who has identified herself and her career so much with riding, and now she's going to try to do this work while not on a horse. So that's going to have frustrations for her from a business perspective, but it's also going to push the character Georgie to the fore to help with some of that horse work. And we're going to discover some of Georgie's talents with horses that were maybe not revealed in the past. And we're going to see how the two of them kind of team up together to work with horses and to solve some of the horse issues that they'll see during the season. So that's going to happen as Amy progresses through the pregnancy for the season. And when you talk about, you know, being a single parent, we've been on that, you know, kind of that experience with Lou and Peter in the breakup of their marriage, and Lou is very much trying to balance her career with her home responsibilities, being a good parent, and still, you know, pursuing the things that are important to her on the career side. And I think that's going to be a very identifiable journey that the audience will understand as they see her trying to be a good mother and a successful business person. And it's not easy, and there's going to be challenges along the way, and the relationship with her girls will be strained at times, and yet I think we're going to see some breakthroughs along the way. So yeah, there's two very interesting themes coming up.
And so we should point out that Amy is played by Amber Marshall, and Michelle Morgan plays her sister Lou that we were just talking about. And there is one member of the cast that I think is fairly well known to people here in America. That's Chris Potter. Some of them know him from his work on Silk Stockings back in the 1990s, which when Rob Estes left the show, he came aboard for several seasons, did a great, great job. He was also on a wonderful episode of Law & Order Special Victims Unit that still gets played on the USA Network here in the U.S. of A. What's it like to work with him?
Oh, man, he brings such a wealth of experience to the table, and he's a true professional. But I think what it's for us, it's really what he brings to the show in his character. And I think, you know, what I like to sometimes call, you know, his character, he brings a little sandpaper to the series, because he's someone that you kind of love and you love to hate, and he's an instigator and an agitator. His character is in the series, but what that brings us is just someone who's got such great intentions from a character perspective, and sometimes it all goes wrong, and he has a way of affecting the entire family, and his the comedic rapport that his character has with Jack is a lot of fun. But he's got a heart of gold, and I think that's why we love him. So, you know, Chris is a professional to work with, and he's got, you know, really phenomenal comic timing. He also directs 2 episodes a year, and he brings a real character eye to the directing process. So, yeah, we're thrilled to have him.
Incidentally, he did show his comedic side a little bit when he was playing opposite David Carradine on Kung Fu Legend Continues, which was a show that Warner Brothers syndicated for several years, which was produced in Canada, by the way.
Yeah.
This series is based on books by Lauren Brook. I mentioned in the news notes that Anne Rice has decided to be involved in a new first-ever TV project, which is adapting your Vampire Chronicles for television. Is Ms. Brooke involved in the making of the series anyway? Does she comment about the direction of the character she created?
No, this is definitely a different experience than the one you're describing. We were really, you know, this was based on the series of books, and the people who've read them know that our first season was quite faithful to the first few books, and we really started out down that path. But in our case, in order to take the show to be a returning long-lasting series, we eventually had to veer away from the books and continue as the story in terms of where our characters were headed. So you'll see there's some characters that didn't exist in the book in the first season, and we very much took a different path once we've gotten up on our feet, which has allowed us to do the things you've asked me earlier in terms of the longevity and allowing these characters to grow naturally. We really, you know, made the show our own at that point.
I want to welcome guests 906 and 929 to our chat room. Sign in Apple 04 by name. You'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/satellite. If you have a question or a comment for Jordy, get in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. When Heartland started, social media was nowhere near the force that it is now, a force that really, when a show goes on the air, people comment it fast. How has social media impacted, A, the reaction you get for the show from your audience, and B, do people use social media to say, I'd love this character to go this way or that way?
Yeah, you know, it's fascinating. If you think back to when we started, Netflix was still a DVD rental operation, and Twitter had not really launched, and Instagram was barely active. So we've actually experienced, in our 10 years, the evolution of social media in real time. And so from the beginning, it was a very different experience than it is today, and it's been fascinating to adapt, you know, every single year to the changing social media marketplace and the way the trends have headed. So where we are today, it's absolutely, you know, in real time, we're seeing what the audience thinks of the stories, the characters, the episodes. You know, we need to make the show and trust our guts in terms of how we make the show every season. But it sure is nice to hear and see the audience reaction to things that, you know, are working incredibly well and where we really hit the right chord, and other times when we see something that wasn't as popular. But I think the first and foremost for us, the biggest thing is when we've clearly connected with an audience over the years, and the audience, that the Heartland audience, is very passionate. They're very knowledgeable. They know the show. They care about the characters. And so we, you know, their reactions, we trust, you know, to hear them and to see, you know, as they're loving the show, it gives great feedback to us and great motivation for everybody who makes the show. But it's a great barometer for how certain storylines are working and making sure that we stay on the right track. So it's becoming more and more useful and imperative.
Heartland's 10th season is now playing Sunday night at 8 p.m. on the Up Network, available coast to coast. And season 11 will be starting this fall on the CBC. And coming up, we'll be talking also to Jordy Randall about Wine on Earth, We're going with second season here in the United States on Sci-Fi, Friday night, June 9th at 10 p.m. So stick around for that. Jody Jones is live from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, New York. 82 degrees at the top of the hour. Happy to have you with us wherever you're catching us on Blog Talk Radio. And if you have a question or comment, and we do have one coming up shortly, give a ring, 646-652-2906. Or use that chat room, SimonApple04. And we welcome guests 9:30 and 9:29 into the room. If you're a fan of Batman, did you know that besides Bob Kane to create the series, there was somebody else who was very special in getting the Caped Crusader off the ground? He was a writer named Bill Finger, major force in the comic book world in the 1930s and 40s. He's the subject of a new special on Hulu called Batman and Bill. And next Friday on Tomorrow Tell Live, we'll meet the people who made that documentary special. Their executive producers and directors, Sheena Joyce and Don Argott. That's from Batman and Bill, next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And again, coming up on our special edition, next Tuesday afternoon, Brian Fuller and Michael Green from American Gods, the new critically acclaimed series based on the Neil Gaiman novel on Starz this Sunday night. And they're both with us Tuesday, 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Jordy, let's move a little bit to Wynonna Earp, which is about to go into season number 2. This was a show that really came on with not a lot of publicity, not a lot of fanfare here in the United States on Sci-Fi, and a lot of people picked up on it fast, and it turned out to be a very big sleeper last year.
Yeah, it was just connecting right back to your question, you know, the opposite of Heartland, where Heartland started before social media really was like it is today. Wynonna is perfect example of what social media can do for a show, in the fact that you're absolutely right. It came in very quietly, and it connected with an audience very quickly, and they were passionate, and they connected with the show, and they told the world about it. And that was a completely organic process. You know, that was people who loved the show pushing the show, and that result has been. The impact of that has been phenomenal. It is really basically self-promoted based on the fans who love it.
We had the producer, Emily Andrus, was on, and also Mel Scafano, the star, who was really, and they were really something when they were on our show last year. And you could tell that there was a chemistry between the two of them, and then not only in terms of what got on the screen, but also got on the audience. And again, this was really a very special achievement because we mentioned at the time, when Sci-Fi brought this show on, they did not do any publicity, no promotion, no publicity whatsoever. So when you talk about a sleeper show, this was a show that found its audience no matter what. This was a show that found the audience no matter what.
Yeah, it was bound and determined and to survive and to succeed. And you're right, both Emily and Melanie are forces of nature. They're perfect, you know, in their roles. I mean, really, Emily is the perfect person to write for Melanie. Melanie is amazing. The two extremely powerful women that are such an honor to work with. I love them both. And it makes for a very special experience. And you're right, it really, was just, it came out of nowhere. And then, you know, for us to kind of break in and then gain some momentum and then make, you know, Variety's, you know, top 10 new shows of the year was shocking and unheard of, really. But, you know, I got to tell you, the show it's got something special, and it's in the cast, and it's in the writing, and it's in the spirit of the show, a show that has comedy and action and stakes, but heart. I think it's very unique in the sci-fi landscape, and I think it's unique, and that's why it's obviously filling a need in the audience that their people aren't finding elsewhere, because it's really struck a chord.
How is Wynonna going to develop the second year?
Well, it's going to be interesting. I mean, second year, we are going to, you know, we'll pick up where we left off, obviously, because for those of people who have seen the show, you know, there's a fairly substantial cliffhanger situation at the end. So we need to pick up on that. And then it's, you know, I think second season people are going to see that we're really leaning into the things where I would say the heart of the show. I mean, the things that people were loving in season one and the relationships and the characters, you know, we're really taking those and advancing those forward. And we're going to, you know, we're going to broaden some of the, you know, some of the supernatural elements that we're going to deal with. So there's going to be some more interesting stuff on that side of things. But the character arcs are going to be very active, and I think people are going to be hooked early. And I think you're going to see an even better season in season two.
Heartland, now in its 10th season. You can catch it Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on the Up Network. And if you want to catch the first 9 seasons, if you have Up Special Video On Demand service on your local cable or satellite system, those Up Patient Family, you can catch that 24/7. As I mentioned earlier, starting this fall on the CBC, Up will begin its 11th season on the air, where we'll tie Seventh Heaven as the longest-running drama of its genre on North American television. Check your locals for where Up is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, you can go to www.uptv.com. That's www.uptv.com. And if you want to find out about the 11th season in advance, you can go here, www.cbc.ca. That's www.cbc, that's Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, .ca. And that's why Owner Earth, second season begins Friday night, June 9th, 10 p.m. on Sci-Fi. And for more details online about that series, www.sci-fi.com, www.sci-fi.com. And if you want to hear the interview that we did with Emily Andrews and Mike Scafano, producer and star of the series, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, or check out our podcast on iTunes and Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. Tony Randall, executive producer of Heartland and White on Earth, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on both shows. Congratulations on getting season 11, a tie-making season off the ground, and all the very best to both shows for a continued long and great run.
Thank you so much, Ben. Thanks for having me on the show.
It is a pleasure, and you're welcome back anytime. Take care. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too.
Tony Randall, executive producer of Heartland and White on Earth, joining us live from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Coming up, our Captain Trini question of the week. And if you know the answer, you could win the National Graphic DVD In the Womb, right after we pause with some fine words from the people at Audible.com. If you're in the mood for a classic horror tale, how about Stephen King's The Dead Zone? It was made into a great movie with Christopher Walken and the USA Network series that ran quite a few seasons. And in this case, you can hear it with James Franco narrating it. How? Get a free trial offer from Audible.com. It's the Amazon company division that is a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. With over 180,000 titles to choose from, you can listen to them on any device, including wherever you are hearing it now, right out at Blog Talk Radio. So remember, just sign up at this URL. It's audibletrial.com/televised, audibletrial.com/televised. Get one free audio book like The Dead Zone, narrated by James Franco, a one-month trial of service, and because it's from Amazon, great customer service. audibletrial.com/televised. And find out why audible.com could transform the way you hear the world. And now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. We're trying to get our fourth winner in a row. And for those of you joining us, by the way, for the evening, joining Randall, stay tuned because you could win if you know the answer to this question. Name one of Hawaiian Eye's private eyes. Hawaiian Eye was a TV series, ran 4 seasons on ABC from 1959 to 1963, produced by Warner Brothers during their era of big private eye shows like 77 Sunset Strip. Here's the question. Name one of Hawaiian Eye's private eyes. Name one of Hawaiian Eye's private eyes. You have 3 possible answers, and we'll take either, by the way, the name of the character or the name of the actor. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and your full mailing address. And if you are the first with the correct answer, by the time the weekend is out, you can win the National Graphic Special In the Womb on DVD with bonus features including a prenatal development timeline. That's National Graphics In the Womb, a claim special from several years ago, available on DVD, and we've got the DVD for you if you know the answer to our classic trivia question of the week. And again, we're going for our fourth weekly winner in a row, so be part of it. It might be you. And if you just missed the question, just tune in, no problem. I'll post it tomorrow morning on Facebook and at my Twitter handle, at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to be in and win, be in, and all the very best. This is Tomorrow We Televise. We have the program all about the tomb. We're joining you Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, for our final episode of April. We've had an amazing lineup of guests all month long, and you can catch those wonderful episodes featuring people from shows like Genius, The Handmaid's Tale, which premiered on Hulu this past Wednesday night, The White Princess, and much, much more. Just go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. You'll also find interviews we did this month with actress Mia Maestro, and also new kids on the block member Joey McIntyre, who's got a new comedy series, his first that he's executive produced, Return of the Mac, which is on every Wednesday night on the Pop Network. So check us out, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And check out the podcast version on iTunes.com or Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. If you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple store near you or order it online. Remember, you can also catch my columns up to Marvin Televised regularly in Media Village. It's the media analysis commentary site run by Jack Myers. It's available 24/7 at www.mediavillage.com. www.mediavillage.com. When we come back, we will have an up on the chances. It was a pilot show at Sundance. We have some big news about its chance to come your way. But first, we will find out what Nathan Ever thinks about the world of television, where it's at and where it's going. He joins me here in New York after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, the best internet radio on the planet, more than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for What's the Buzz NYC. Join Nick Favaro every week, various times, right here, with all the great happenings around this fair city and some fine guests, too. Here's Favaro and What's the Buzz NYC every week on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, you can get the best of VTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back for the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Delighted to have you aboard. Another great guest coming your way this half hour. And we invite you to be involved. All you have to do is give us a ring. The number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Numbers get anywhere. Catch us across the country, around the world, here on Blog Talk Radio. Or be part of our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. You will find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. We have guests 854 and 929 in the room, and we're delighted to hear from you. My next guest has been covering the TV scene for a while, and he just launched a brand new website and media place called Found Remote. He is also the head of a monthly meetup that takes place around the world of social television here in New York. I've gone to some of his meetings, and they are usually outstanding. It's a pleasure to welcome back to this program, Nathan Edelberg. Nathan, welcome back. It's great to have you.
Thanks so much for having me back. Excited to be here.
So here we are, Nathan. One third of the way into 2017, what strikes you about how TV has gone so far?
I think one of the most exciting things we're seeing from the industry perspective is the unbundling and the skinny bundles are finally here. So now that YouTube TV launched, PlayStation View and Sling TV are getting better. I think it's never been a better opportunity to potentially cut the cord or change the way you pay for television, especially since there's so many great shows out there.
Are skinny bundles here to stay?
Oh, sorry?
Are skinny bundles here to stay, whether it's PlayStation View or DirecTV Now or others that may be coming along?
I think they're here to stay. I think we're only going to start seeing more different kinds of TV bundles on the internet because that's where everything's moving. So in terms of who ends up winning this new battle, it's hard to tell right now. But I think the idea is people do want bundles of great television networks. They just want it to be simpler. They want it to have better DVR capabilities. And they want to, you know, have the consumer take back the experience, which oftentimes is not the case with a cable provider.
Mm-hmm. Are you surprised at the quality of television that we are seeing, both scripted and unscripted? You look at what's happened this month alone. Programs like The Handmaid's Tale on Hulu, American Gods coming up Sunday night on Starz, Genius on Nat Geographic Channel, The White Princess also on Starz, the new season of American Crime, the Harriet Tubman episode of Underground with an amazing performance by Aisha Hines in that role. It just seems that TV, new shows in particular, cannot do any wrong when they get on the air.
It's very true. You know, it's overwhelming how many new amazing TV programs there are, especially scripted. I think the overwhelming notion is we're in this peak TV era where there's just so much good content out there, it's even harder to stand out. I think The Handmaid's Tale is a great example because that's getting rave reviews, and it really could help Hulu take itself to the next level in terms of competing with Amazon and Netflix. But I think the big thing to recognize is there's something out there for everyone. And since there's so much TV, the way that you need to define your audience and define success is going to have to change because no longer can you rely on the same viewership numbers that you could before, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the advertisers or subscribers aren't getting value from it.
What has been Netflix and Hulu's and Amazon's and full screens and Crackle's impact on the whole TV world? You just get this impression that everybody is, A, trying to raise the output of how much original programming they do, and, B, they seem to be raising the bar on how creative a show is.
You know, it's true. There's more money being thrown around like never before, like with Netflix spending, I think it's something like $150 million bringing all these big actors together. And I think that what we're seeing is the fact that you really need to stand out. And to do that, you need to create good content. So we're seeing not just the traditional players, but we're seeing MCNs, like Full Screen you mentioned, Awesomeness TV, making long-form content. And even if that long-form content isn't considered television, it looks like television, it feels like television, has the same cinematic and, you know, acting quality as television does.
Yeah. Speaking of TV, Natan, we now know, thanks to Nielsen and some other studies that have come out in the last few weeks, that at least 60% of all TV households, or all households in the United States, have a smart TV set, whether it's Samsung or Vizio or Echo or Panasonic, or a smart device that makes a set smart, a Roku, an Amazon Fire TV, a Google Chromecast, Apple TV, etc. And it's allowing people to watch Netflix and similar services on the TV set as opposed to the smartphone, the tablet, et cetera, or to, in the case of Apple TV, order pizza from Papa John's or Amazon merchandise if you're an Amazon Prime subscriber or buy tickets from StubHub, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What kind of impact is do you think smart TVs and devices like a Roku or Chromecast are having on how we watch television?
It's a great question. I think the major impact it's having is the ability to target people watching television. Like you mentioned, it's so easy to purchase or order. If you look at someone like Amazon, who reaches into our pockets in so many different ways, it's pretty staggering to see what they could potentially do with it in terms of advertising, targeting, or making it easier to purchase things. So I think it's really going to redefine the consumer. You know, the consumer is now not only going to get a more customized experience, but they're going to be able to get things a lot quicker than they were before. And hopefully they're going to feel the advertising they're getting is a lot more relevant. So I think the real opportunity here is for brands to rebuild their reputations and actually, you know, market to consumers in an effective way versus the traditional mass medium way that probably doesn't work as much anymore.
Natan Hilsberg is the executive editor of Found Remote. It is a new website that showcases where TV is at, where it's going. He joins us live here in New York on Tomorrow We Tell Live this half hour. Simon Applebaum, also with you from the Big Apple. Gorgeous day outside, 80 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment for Natan, don't be shy. Get ringed in at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04. We have guest 864-929. Get into the room. So use that chat room. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Remember, we have 3 episodes to kick off May coming your way next week. Coming up on Monday, we'll have Daphne Zaman. She is the Chief Executive Officer of Cinema. That is the all-culture, all-film channel. Yesterday, she was in Washington, D.C. with some lawmakers to try to encourage more support for independent networks like hers. And then on May 2nd, that's next Tuesday, special time, 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific, the main executive producers of Stars American Gods that premieres this Sunday night, Brian Fuller and Michael Green, in an internet radio exclusive. And coming up next Friday, we'll have Sheena Joyce and Don Argott, they're the executive producer directors of a new Hulu documentary special called Batman and Bill, about the unknown force Cape Crusader Go, Bill Finger. It's all coming up next Monday, Tuesday, Friday, to kick off our 8th year on Broad Talk Radio, and part of our 10th year on the air overall, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Next 2 weeks, we have the digital content new fronts, and there's been a lot of controversy this year about who is participating more so than who is not. Yahoo has decided to take a pass this year. Full Screen, mentioned earlier, has taken a pass. Warner Brothers, who owns Machinima, has taken a pass. Also, BuzzFeed, AOL is closing its whatever it's doing next Tuesday night to the press. What do you think is happening with the new fronts this year, and why?
I think it's a great question, and, yeah, we have a busy couple of weeks ahead of us. I think the changing nature is just a reflection of what's going on in the media. Number one, I think there's a lot of, skepticism or doubt of what's going to happen with the economy or with the media industry, with the new presidency. A lot of laws can change in the media and communication industry that could affect things. But besides that, I think one of the realizations is that these big, giant, glitzy, and glamorous parties aren't always necessary. They definitely serve a purpose, since it's important to stand out. It's important to show advertisers how big a deal you are. But I think at the end of the day, it's often more effective for these brands to do more private meetings where they actually get to sit down with their potential advertisers than throw a giant party that everyone comes to. So to me, it's just the nature of the times and the nature of refocusing spending to something that matters. And I think a realization that the, you know, new media industry, for lack of a better term, isn't exactly like the television industry. There aren't as much need to sell at one period of time. The upfronts, which have been around for many years, are all about getting advertisers to commit so there's enough time to make television that will launch in the fall. With the internet, that doesn't really exist. The internet is limitless and doesn't have the same boundaries. So I think it's not a surprise that, you know, the new fronts are a constantly changing thing that are starting to look a lot less like the upfronts.
Yeah. You can understand maybe somebody like Yahoo, which is about to be acquired by Verizon, for not doing a thing this year. But you maybe, at least for some people, it's surprising that a full screen, which now has a video on-demand service available on smart TV sets and devices and on DirecTV and on and also in part on Uverse cable systems through AT&T, would not at least, if they don't want to have a big splashy event, fine. But why not talk to the press at least and get their word out about what they want to do and what they've got coming up? That isn't that a danger that if you don't say something at least about what you're doing, or if you have an event, for example, and you don't let the press in, like you and me, to explain what's going on, doesn't that in a way get you off the radar screen of people?
Yeah, it does. It's definitely a big risk. I agree with you. I would love to hear more from them. I think part of it is just the nature of a big acquisition like this. There's been so much news about it for so long where I feel like they decided internally that the best thing to do while they don't have much updates is to stay a bit quiet about it. Because obviously, once the acquisition is 100% complete, a lot's going to change, and we don't know what that is yet. So I think they probably decided it's not worth it to make announcements about things they don't have announcements about yet. But I suspect we'll hear a lot from them once the dust has settled.
Yeah. Going back to smart TVs, one of the things that some of these new front companies did do, companies like PopSugar, companies like Defy Media said is, hey, guess what? More of our people are watching us on the television set. It's not over the top. It's not mobile. It's not smartphone. It's not tablet. It is the television set. And a year later, by the way, PopSugar is now doing programming for at least one television network. I believe it's Z Living. You have the full screen situation, which is available on smart TVs through and also on DirecTV. And so on. Do you think that more companies are going to say that message, that, hey, we are TV to some degree?
I think they definitely are. I think you're right. That's a big trend that's happening right now. And I think the lines are going to continue to blur between content owners, manufacturers, tech companies. I think, you know, who knows who's going to be attending the Emmys next year or even this year. I think seeing people like Jeff Bezos, who runs Amazon, showing up to all the awards shows is very telling to things like that, to say like anyone can get into this game and it's all about the content like it always has been. So if you have the right money and the right people and the right creativity, you know, anyone could make high quality content.
Are there any particular companies that are in the new fronts these next 2 weeks that you're interested in looking at, whether they have been there before or whether they're coming in for the first time?
Sure, yeah, there's a bunch of them. I think two that I'm looking forward to is Awesomeness TV, who has really expanded quite nicely as the idea of a multi-channel network has evolved. They have a lot of great long-form now. Also, Disney's doing one with IAB, which is going to be really interesting because, you know, they acquired Maker Studios, and that's now being wrapped into Disney a lot more, and it's being restructured. So I'm really excited to hear what their future is like. And those are just two of them, but I think, you know, they're all going to be exciting for the reasons we've talked about where things are changing so much.
Two that I'm looking forward to. One is among the new companies, Astronauts Wanted. It's Judy McGrath's company, the former head of MTV. It's their first time out. It's on the second Wednesday of this cycle. And the NCC, what they come up with, and how much, by the way, they decide to do television as opposed to short-form video. And the other is YouTube. YouTube, for those who don't know, has an event every year called the Brandcast, which is very splashy, maybe one of the best events of its kind, staged every year. But one of the problems that they've had, Natan, is they don't talk about where they're going. And I thought they made a major mistake the last two, despite an excellent event otherwise, that is my putting my two cents in, by not saying, hey, here's the talent that we've got coming up that we believe in. Here's the shows that, or here's the personalities that we think are budding the stars. And they didn't even talk about YouTube Red, which is their on-demand service, which is available on smart TV sets and devices. I'm getting a sense that this year, though, that might change, that they may finally be willing to say, hey, you know what? We got to own up to that flaw, and we're going to talk about where we're going.
I agree. It's a very good thing to point out. I don't think a lot of people knew exactly what YouTube Red was. And now with the big YouTube TV launch, I think they have a lot more to say. And as you probably know, YouTube Red is now part of YouTube TV. So they're kind of packaging in their premium Red content as part of a traditional bundle of TV stations.
By the way, I want to welcome guests 983 and 991 into our chat room. We have a question or comment for our wonderful guest, Natan Ellsberg from Found Remote. Put it in the room over SimonApple04 at blogtalkradio.com/televised, our wonderful homepage, or give us a ring, 646-652-2906. Remember, that number's getting anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio. When do you think Apple and Amazon are going to talk more about what they do? It's amazing. I think part of the issue with smart TVs right now, Natan, is it's not being reported. I think this is a phenomenon that's very important in television and in consumer electronics. But you don't get the sense that it's being reported to the degree that it ought to be. And part of it, I think, is either journalists not discussing the issue as much in whatever the sites they are involved with. I think part of it is that Apple and Amazon and the smart TV makers do not talk to the press, do not show up in New York with events. And industry conferences, whether it is CE Week or whether it's events from the major trade magazines or whatever, they don't discuss it. Is there a concern that perhaps the American public is knowing more about what's happening than we are?
I think, you know, it's true. They're very silent, and I think they don't have anyone pushing them to be more public about what they're doing, but they also maybe don't need to be. I think the good part about the internet in general, especially with like Amazon or Netflix, who are very private about their successes, is that there's a lot of great ways to guess how they're doing. And that's just the nature of the internet, since we, the consumers, have the power to let people track our data in a safe way. There's lots of great data analytics companies that could more or less get the accuracy of how Amazon and Netflix and Hulu are doing to like an 90% accuracy. For example, I report on analytics from Parrot Analytics, from Jumpshot, which all kind of estimate which are the most popular shows and how much attention they're getting. So I think part of it is that, you know, they have no one pushing them. They don't need to be more public, but also you can kind of figure it out on your own a bit.
You deal, of course, with social media a lot in your various capacities, with Sound Remote, with your role with the local social media or social TV meetup here in New York, which you and your colleagues do a marvelous job on. And I bring it up yesterday, you're welcome, yesterday at BET's fall season preview, Louis Carr, who's head of ad sales, brought out the fact that there is this black Twitter movement that is now happening. In fact, BET and Twitter are going to do a study about this, and they're going to announce the findings of that study in June. How has social media over the last year impacted, and particularly right now, how is it impacting the kind of TV we watch, how we react to television, and also, the kind of television that the upfront, newfront people may offer us in the months ahead?
Sure. And when I first started writing about, you know, this topic in like 2008, 2009, social TV was really all about these new platforms that were emerging, how people are talking about television on it. And that alone was what was interesting. Now, the idea of the fact that the population could cause things to go trending, whether it's on Twitter or Facebook or elsewhere, isn't just a conversation about television. It actually informs what television should be. So one great example of that is what you mentioned, the great work BET is doing to study that movement. Another great example is, you know, Comedy Central just launched a president's show. And it's, you know, no surprise that they did it for this presidency, because the fact that our current president creates such a storm on social media constantly, television has no choice but to address it constantly, critique it, make fun of it, satire it. And I think we're seeing an era where when something happens on social media, it's just, it isn't only a conversation about television. It what then informs what television is going to be.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Comedy Central also has a show called At Midnight, which is very internet and social media centric. And Chris Hardwick through it has become a television entrepreneur. He's all over the place, The Wall on NBC. Now he has to deal with AMC, with The Talking Dead and talking other, whatever it is, other shows. And he's like, his star is definitely on the rise. He's a great example of how he has used social media and how he's used the web to further his own enterprise.
Totally. That's a wonderful show. And yeah, Chris is amazing. And, you know, I think he's probably one of very few people on television who really quite gets social media so well. And we're starting to see more shows like that come up every day, both, you know, all kinds of reality and talk shows where even look at Jimmy Fallon. He, you know, he does so much with Twitter. And it's really not just the conversation. It's part of the zeitgeist.
So we are now a third of the way through this television year. We have 8 months to go. What new TV show are you looking forward to from here on?
Sure. Well, I'm overwhelmed with excitement about every show that's kind of come back in the last couple of weeks, everywhere from Veep, Silicon Valley, to Fargo, The Leftovers. I think, you know, one of the shows I'm really looking forward to that the name is unfortunately slipping me, but I'm sure you'll know it, Simon. The new Kelsey Grammer show that's coming up on Amazon. So that one, you know, is really appealing to me. I'm a big fan of Kelsey, and he was really amazing in Boss on Stars back in the day. So that's one of them. I think the Return of Catastrophe is going to be really exciting, another Amazon one. I don't know if you're a fan of that show, but, you know, it's going to be really exciting. And then, you know, Handmaid's Tale obviously is getting really amazing. The Last Tycoon, that was the show. And so all of these new shows coming out are really exciting me, and I think that we're constantly going to see new stuff, especially over the summer, so it's no longer a slow season.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I'm looking forward to American Gods Sunday night. I have seen the clips, and I can tell you, I think that's an amazing show, and it's going to get a lot more people looking at it than maybe people think. And Neil Gaiman, by the way, has that deal now with Fremantle Media, the producers of American Gods, to create more shows
cool.
like it. And I think that's the interesting thing to me is that so many people want to get into television. I mentioned at the top in our news notes, Tom McCarthy, the director of Spotlight, now has a deal with Paramount TV. And Rice is now going to get involved with the Vampire Chronicles through Paramount Anonymous Content, which 13 Reasons Why. I want to ask about 13 Reasons Why. What do you think about the social media reaction to that? It started off great. It's got sensational reviews. Looks like it's going to go second season. But as of late, there's been a bit of a turn with a lot of people very upset about the way the suicide was handled in the final episode.
Yeah, sure. And I unfortunately haven't seen the show yet, but I know a lot about it and read a lot about that issue. And by the way, I'm extremely excited for American Gods as well. I think in dealing with such a tough and difficult topic like that, I'm not surprised that there's been backlash because it's just such a difficult thing to deal with that it's hard to, A, please everyone. It's hard to necessarily get it right. So at the end of the day, whether they should have done something differently or not, I don't know yet. I don't have my own opinion because I haven't seen it yet. But I know for sure that it's probably not a bad thing for the show because it's getting people talking about it. It's getting people wanting to watch it. So I think in that sense, even if the conversation isn't as positive as it was at the beginning, it's definitely going to get a lot of people to tune in.
Yeah. I should acknowledge that we had one of the producers who works with Anonymous Content, the Mr. Robot folks, on our show about a month ago, and I've seen a piece of 13 Reasons Why. It's really some show. It's a really amazing show, and it looks like Netflix is going to renew it pretty soon for a second season. Before you go, Tom, is there a particular tech development that you're looking forward to, whether it's virtual reality, interactive television, you think is going to spring before the end of the year?
Sure. I think, you know, virtual reality is something we're paying attention to. One of the most exciting things I'm looking forward to with that is social VR. I know a company very well called Altspace VR who works on all the hardware platforms, but what they're really developing is this new layer of the world where you can actually do things like meet or go to concerts or watch comedians. And I think that kind of experience is what's really going to kind of push the VR world into the next stage. Right now, I think a lot of it is kitschy and glamorous and one-time stunts, But with social networks, you're really going to be able to see what the possibilities of virtual reality are for day-to-day life. So that's one thing I'd look out for, in addition to the skinny bundles like we were talking about.
Yeah. I think somebody's going to do a choose-your-own interactive programming service. There's a company called Echo, which has investment from Sony and MGM and other places that may finally pull the trigger. I know they've done some stuff with social media like Facebook, and they may finally pull the trigger to do television shows where at various points of the program you can use your remote control to choose which way the direction of the show goes. And I agree with VR and augmented reality is something to watch. I do think, though, and I hope we have another discussion on this, if you don't do it with a TV set, as well as with the goggles and the headgear and so forth, I think the market is not going to become mass into it. We'll see. And I'd love to have a further conversation about that next time we get you on.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
And if you want to find out more about what the time is up to, check out this website. It's a great one, foundremote.com. It's foundremote.com. If you're in the New York area, go on to the social TV meetups. They're always good, and they come out on a once-a-month basis. Terrific guests, and the Tom and crew do a wonderful job. The Tom, thanks again for joining us. Have a wonderful weekend, and catch you in person down the road.
Sounds good. See you soon. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Take care. The Tom Ilberg joining us live from Farm Remote here in New York. And finally, up as an update where we catch up on some of the guests and topics we had in this program. On January 20th, we brought you a very unique episode, Two Deaf Filmmakers and actors putting together a pilot that was shown at the Sundance Film Festival called The Chances, Shazana Stern and Josh Feldman. Well, it was seen at Sundance and got a lot of raves. And I'm happy to tell you that yesterday, Sundance Now, which is the Sundance special service that's carried on smart TV sets and smart devices like Chromecast and Roku, will take The Chances and turn it into a series, which will hopefully be on later this year. A 4 or 5 episode commitment. And as soon as we find out when that show is going to come on, we will bring Shazana and Josh back on the program. So congratulations to both of you for making The Chances happen and taking the chance on your series at Sundance. It's a great groundbreaker for people of deaf or hard of hearing persuasion who want their chance in the TV spotlight. Monday on Smart Televised, Daphne Zaman from Cinema, and Tuesday, Brian Fuller and Michael Green from American Gods, the executive of that series, bearing Sunday Night Stars, will be with us. Special time, 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific. If you came along to today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtopradio.com/televised. Check out the podcast on iTunes.com or Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. We love hearing from you, so check us out on if you would like to comment on today's program, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's how you get involved in our Class Trivia Question of the Week. We love hearing from you. You can also find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter. And remember, your comments are special. Why? Because what you say matters. And again, thank you to both of our guests for being with us on this very special Friday afternoon, last one of April, 2017. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not only those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Amy Toews, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of this very enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow's Televised was brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For the free trial, 30 days, and a free audiobook, audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow's Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend ahead. Be safe and be great out there. We are back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, when we start our 8th year, you know where, Blog Talk Radio as part of our 10th year overall on the air. Remember, once again, American Gods executive producers, Brian Fuller and Michael Green, special edition this Tuesday, 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.